welcome to the Don and Wynn Show, and happy Labor Day weekend to all of you listening. My name is Wynn Free, and my co-host, Don Newsome, are bringing you Out of This World talk show radio here at BBS. Don, are you there?
I am. I'm here. And folks, it has been quite a week for us here at BBS Radio. Actually, it's been an interesting last few weeks, but I am here, and I'm really proud to be here.
Hey, what's going on for BBS? You want to share it with our listeners?
Well, right now it's...
Let me just say something before you do that. Don is the founder of BBS Radio. For those of you that have been tuning in, this is Don's vision to bring consciousness-changing radio to the internet, and he presents people and ideas that are not readily available, and things to provoke your thinking, things to help understand what's going on in the world, and he's been doing it as a labor of love now for quite a few months, and Don and I met, and I had an interesting story, and I was on PBS and told my story, and then we ended up having conversations probably two or three times a week. We used to, and I said, let's record our conversations and put them on the air. And so that's how PBS, the Don and Wynn Show anyway, got started. And so sometimes we have conversations between us. We have different points of view, the same points of view. And sometimes we've had some really interesting guests. And myself,
Now you're on your cell phone, right?
Yeah. Am I okay?
Yeah. No, there's just, you know, it's always with a cell phone you pick up a little background noise, but that's okay.
Yeah, actually, it's one of those days where I'm sitting on the street.
that's the beautiful thing about BBS. We can do this ourselves.
And you know where I am, Don?
Where are you?
Don?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out where you are.
I am in Haight, Ashbury.
Haight, Ashbury.
Do you know what Haight, Ashbury is?
No.
No?
No.
You are not a good hippie, okay? You remember hippies?
Vaguely?
In the 60s... There were a bunch of indigo children that became hippies. And, you know, it was the time of the Jefferson Airplane and Janis Joplin. And it was like, it was kind of like a moment that the Beatles, All You Need Is Love. And it all started in Haight Ashbury, where it seemed like there was a call all over the country to people that were outside of the system that didn't fit. It all converged, thousands and thousands, in Haight Ashbury, and there were all these spontaneous events and music in the park, and it actually became very much a seed. Many people lived in Haight Ashbury in that time and have gone on to become some of the consciousness leaders today that had that experience of there was a kind of love here. Now, it kind of got overshadowed a bit by drugs. And eventually, Haight Ashbury kind of decayed into a place where people just came who were into
addicts.
Drugs.
Yeah.
You're not aware of Haight Ashbury, huh, Don?
No.
Amazing. See, I was in Haight Ashbury during that period of time. So it's kind of nostalgic for me to be sitting here today.
Well,
and I'm giving a talk tomorrow night at something called the Peace Cafe on Haight Street on Monday night, and talking about my book and some of my experiences. And for those of you that are checking in for the first time, my experience is that I wrote the book The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and it makes a case for other dimensions connecting with this dimension and how they work. And then they started talking to me, and it's a crazy story, but if you listen to it, there's something going on. There's something real about it because it keeps proving itself. So now, Don, excuse me for interrupting.
Not a problem.
Tell us what's going on with BBS that you want to share.
Well, there's going to be a lot of changes. People will see them over the course of the next few weeks. I would think over the course of the next couple months. Well, we just have a lot of wonderful things, wonderful people working with us. We're going to be implementing a bunch of new things. We just want to, you know, bring ourselves up to the 21st century.
Bring us to the 21st century.
Well, you know, we'd like to get on the cutting edge. We're really doing something no one else has done before. And, you know, I challenge our listeners, if somebody knows of a radio network out there that allowed hosts, didn't matter who they were, to remotely host their own program and allow them to have call-ins and everything, that's what we did. And now I notice there's a few networks doing that out there now. And it's kind of nice to see that kind of movement. And it's just a unique thing, and it requires a lot of unique systems, or unique people, unique ideas, because it's not like you can take something that's already been, you know, invented and go click. You got to kind of take all the pieces and make it work together, because it can lead to many challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But it is worth it to me, because I read a lot of the emails, and it's just people seem to really, really appreciate this kind of information and being able to get it all in one place. They love it. So,
well, you know what? Our world is in a big transformation right now. And what's really going on is hard to access for a lot of people.
You know, I agree. I'll take it a step crazier. Call me a nutty person. And my wife agrees. She was sitting next to me. And, you know, I told her to, because I've been feeling a little strange the last several days. My skin, not several days, actually it's been 8 months, but now it doesn't feel like my skin anymore. And I can rub my hands on my body and the skin feels different. You know, you wear your skin for 35 years, you know what it feels like, or 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I mean, I know what my skin feels, it feels different. I can't explain. And she noticed it too. I said, does it feel different to you? And she said, yeah. And I said, is my cellular structures changing? DNA? What is it? I just, you know what I mean? So that's a little weird, but I wanted to comment on that in case anybody else is experiencing that. I don't know what to make of it. I almost just file it in the back of my head and think, hey, you know, I've registered something. Maybe something strange is going on here and fun or wonderful, and maybe it's just all in my head. But my wife's confirmed it, and so I'm just kind of interested to find out how this progresses.
Mm-hmm. So your skin is changing.
I don't know. You know, it seems to. It seems to be. I mean, the skin just doesn't feel like it used to,
mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense to anybody at all.
Is it better or is it worse?
It's...
Or is it just different?
Different. Different. I can't describe it. It just doesn't feel like my skin. I don't know.
It doesn't have scales on it, does it?
Oh, no. No. No scales.
Okay. Well, you know, for people that have been reading or studying my material, it's like... There's things happening, and of course it's all over BBS too. I'm not the only guy saying it, but we're in this dimensional shift.
You know,
we're in this end of a 75,000 year cycle, and that we're in this bath of cosmic energy that is roto-rootering our planet, changing everything, changing all, you know, changing us individually, changing the Earth. You know, in terms of all the natural disasters and weather changes, changing the solar system, and the evidence is in that there's something going on, and that there's an explanation for it, but the explanation can only come from the other side or other dimensions.
I keep hearing a plane.
Can you hear me?
I keep hearing a plane.
You can hear me plane?
No, a plane. Is there an aircraft going by you?
No, that's a motorcycle. It's probably a Hell's Angel. Okay? So in any case, you know, there's an explanation from other dimensions, and then you have to say, well, what do I believe? If it's from other dimensions, how do you know it's, you can trust it? And then you have to, like, then cross-reference and look at what's going on in the world and say, well, that matches what they were saying. You know, like, for example, you know, I used to be a physics major one time, and so I have a pretty sharp mind at looking at things, not wanting to accept things blindly. So when I get something that's from another dimension, you know, when I say from another dimension, I'm talking the experience of channeling is one way to get that. And then you have to, well, how do you know you can believe that? How do you know you can trust it? And you have to go through a lot of testing and skepticism and just like any relationship on this planet. Anytime somebody comes into your life for the first time, you know, you might have a feeling it's okay, but it's only over a period of time that it proves itself trustworthy and or not, because I'm sure we've all been in the experience where we've trusted something and then somewhere down the line it did us in, either emotionally or financially or on some level. So everything needs to be checked out. And so even the stuff on this show, if we say something, nobody should believe anything. If it's the first time they've heard it, they shouldn't believe it. They should use it as a possibility that it's worth checking out, because if something is true, it will check out, and it will also hold through time. Things that are lesser than don't hold the test of time.
Well, never close your mind to the truth. It's like many of these religions will say, if you're getting this information, well, you must be consorting with demons and devils, and you got to keep a closed mind, because they, you know, all the religions of the world, you notice how they always promote a closed mind, and they promote it, which is exactly the opposite of what.
Well, you know what? Once you have a structure in the world that has followers, that has money, that has buildings, that has power, everything new that's outside of that structure, it becomes interpreted as a threat to it. And so that's the reason that such rigid belief systems get implanted, because it protects your structure. In other words, if everything out of my belief system is the devil, then no one's going to, you know, people that are indoctrinated to that are not going to be open, right?
Well, that's right.
So now my finances, my building, my whatever my structure is that's supporting me in the physical is going to not look any further, because they're afraid to. Because they're afraid, well, what if I get the devil? Now, anything could be the devil or could be negative, so it does take discernment to weigh things. It's not to accept a new thing and to say this is the truth. But one has to trust their own ability to discern and to distinguish and trust their heart and to take a few chances and check things out. And because that's the only way you'll ever find anything in the outer that matches the inner. In other words, we all have an inner self, and we're all looking for things in the outer that can reflect our inner back to us. That's what love is about, isn't it? It's about finding things that we can project into, and it's like a mirror coming back of our very, very highest person.
We have a guest.
Huh?
Don't we have a guest today?
We have a guest.
Yeah.
We do have a guest. Mm-hmm. You know, our guest is...
Patient.
Patient. And, you know, everybody puts on big shots, and... You know, sometimes we have big shots on this show, and when you hear a big shot, you think you have to be a big shot to make a difference. But sometimes it's the little shots that make the huge differences, And when I say little shots, it doesn't mean in any way diminutive, but people that are transparent, that are living their life, that are doing ordinary things, but have connected with their own loving space, and even connected with other dimensions. And some people are having busy conversations, and then, you know, they're never famous channels. They're just, they just change the people around them in their own way, because it's not about big messages. It's about love that changes the world. And so there's a woman that has been listening to our show from almost its very beginning, and was inspired to read my book, and has been one of the our loyal supporters of the Don and Wynn show. And she's also been checking into my conference calls, where we read the channelings every week. And her name is Karen, and she's in Ohio. And I wanted to bring her on to the show tonight. I know, Don, you've spoken to Karen, haven't you, Don?
I have spoken to her, yes.
And so, Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Now, are you shy? Karen was saying, what am I going to say? You know...
Well, Karen,
Is there anything you would like to say before I ask you a question?
No, you can just ask me questions.
Just ask you a question.
Karen goes in there, yeah.
Now, I see Karen as like an angelic being. And what an angelic being is someone that looks at everything and always sees it in the highest place, and somehow or another is able to transform, just by their own love, the things around them into a more loving space. Now, people don't know she's an angelic being. They just see her as a nice person. But, you know, she's had in her own self kind of interesting phenomena. She's very, very sensitive. Would you like to try to share what I'm saying in your own words?
Oh.
But you're more sensitive than a lot of people.
Oops. In other words, what he's trying to say is just repeat them in your own words.
Like when I first tuned into your show. And
well, let's say before you tuned into our show, did you experience yourself as a really sensitive person and an intuitive person? Would
yes.
you have said that about yourself?
Yes, all my life, yes.
All your life. And how did that show up for you? I mean, what kind of experiences were you having that made you know that about yourself?
It's almost like I knew it when I was younger, but I never really put my finger on what it actually was till I got older. But then I started searching through religions and checking out all kinds of religions, and then I got locked into a certain one for like 25 years, which, even though I had all this, everything that I had intuitively, I kept pushing away because, of course, this religion says that wasn't good. So I had that inner fight because I didn't want to let anybody know that I always knew what somebody was going to say. Or I could walk in a room and I could feel the room, and I knew what people were talking about. And a couple times I had visions of what, like, the next 10 years of my life was going to be. But it's like I wasn't, if I didn't know, I just didn't really, I don't know, it was like it was all just happening to me, and I wasn't really, I guess I just thought everybody was like that. Until I got into the religion and was told that, you know, these things were wrong. And then it was a fight. An internal thing. Struggle
like
to...
The religion would have looked at those things as the devil, right?
Yes.
So
finally I had... it was just so strong, and I just had to start listening to myself instead of listening to everything outside of me. And then I know one time I noticed my handwriting, and I thought, well, why is my handwriting different at different times? And so I started, and that started a real intense search, internal search to know me, because I wanted to know why was my handwriting different. So it all started with wanting to know me instead of wanting to know someone else. So I started studying handwriting analysis. Everything was to study me. I was my science project.
And so as you studied you, what did you find out?
I just kept finding out that what I had was real, and then I was trying to figure out how to use it, what it was for, categorize it. So I just started devouring all the books and everything, and then I started having, you know, pay attention to my dreams. Then I started noticing dreams would lead me to other things, and that's how I knew that things were like going on. It just had a way of following it when I would have a dream and then it would happen and then I go, oh, okay.
So you have prophetic dreams.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like a dream would happen and then something would happen in the
mm-hmm.
world.
Yeah.
And, when did that start happening?
Wow, it's been a long time.
Now, did you share this with your family, like your husband?
Just my husband and my kids. Because mm-hmm. I've raised my kids and taught my husband how to pay attention to when it happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
So
they took you seriously, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you report dreams to them sometimes, and then later on they would see it happen?
Yes. And then I found some things I had to learn not to disclose everything. I had to learn when to be a little discerning what to reveal and what not to reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times if I tell somebody everything, it just kind of didn't sit well, or it kind of hindered something. And I felt like I just had to learn when to hold back and when mm-hmm. to speak up. So that was a lesson there, too.
Mm-hmm. And then this is about where you were at when you started listening to the Don and Wynn show.
Right.
Right?
Right.
At that place where, how long had you been away from the religion you were?
I've been in there for 25 years, and we left it 15 years ago.
15 years. So for 15 years, you were having all this experience, kind of phenomenal stuff, and just trying to put the pieces together. What
mm-hmm.
does it all mean?
Yes.
Like you said, why me, right?
Yeah, and I didn't have any
yeah.
buddy to go to. I just paying attention to myself.
And then you listen to the Don and Wynn show, and actually, you heard my story, the stuff I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
and it created a resonance with some of the experiences you were having. Is that about right?
Yeah.
You're saying that right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in your own words, like how it connected.
It just showed me that there was something real. It wasn't imagination. It was coming in. It meant something. And I'd always felt like I was holding something for the longest time, even when I didn't even know. I would babble on and tell my husband, oh, I feel like I'm holding something, but I don't know what it is. And then when I tuned into the energy of your show, that just made everything just started, like all the dots were connecting. And then from reading Edgar Cayce, I knew I got into this habit of when I got into something new, I would always put the book under my pillow first.
Are you talking about the original Edgar Cayce?
Yes.
Or my book? The original Edgar Cayce.
The original Edgar Cayce. Mm-hmm. I read where he would put books under his pillow.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since I read that, I've done that throughout the years. So as soon as I got your book, hurried up and got it, put it under my pillow, to see what kind of messages I would get and dream. And that I was just having awesome experiences from that and keeping a journal. And I just kept feeling the energy around me all the time. And it was just starting to be incredible how I felt like things were escalating. My body was being tuned. Everything was becoming clearer. I was getting more clarity of an understanding of what had always been going on with me, but couldn't put into words. Or is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, this thing that started with me when I was writing the book, and myself, I've had all these amazing phenomena all my life, but it was kind of disassociated. I would go back in from the phenomena to back into a regular life and what I was supposed to do, and back into, you know, huge insights, and then back into life and wondering how this is all supposed to integrate in a real way in the world. And then as I was writing the book, as I was writing it, I would read those channelings out loud to my friend Terry, and as we were reading them, all this light came in the room. Now, when I say light, it's kind of an energy. Many people don't know what I mean by that because they haven't had that experience. But for some people, even while we're talking on the show, they might be having some kind of experience, something shift inside of them or some presence with them. It's not just, you know, entertaining. It's like an inner thing. It's hard to describe. It's hard to describe what it means when light is present. It's like for someone that hasn't had that experience. But I will say, if you haven't had it, this is one of those things that you can be open to and look for, because you can have it. It is possible. And reading the book, The Channelings and the Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, started tuning me into that experience. But the big leap for me was realizing that light was not just energy, that it had intelligence, and that it was actually, the intelligence was the words that were in the book, and then the light, that intelligence, was paying attention to me while we would read the book, and it would say, okay, we'll come in, we'll be in that space. And the same intelligence that was talking through David Wilcott was a light energy coming into the space, and I couldn't believe that was real. I mean, I said it to myself, and I kept saying, could that be real? Couldn't that? Is that an intelligence in my space? Is that energy that was talking those words through David Wilcock now in my space? And I analyzed that for quite some time. And at one point, I started writing my own dreams down, because I didn't write dreams down. 2 years, probably about 2 years into writing the book. And in the morning, I looked at the pad to see what I had written on the pad, and it had sentences like somebody was talking to me, somebody was counseling me, and I thought I was making it up. And this was after I had that experience of light energy in the room while I was reading the challenge. And some of the sentences were things like, we're not doing this for entertainment. It has a serious purpose. It's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world. Through your efforts to love, serve, and care, the negativity disappears. And this was going on, and I kept thinking, am I making this up? And then I remembered that I had had a reading from David Wilcock 2 years before. And, of course, there's this group soul, they identify themselves as a group soul, that was speaking through Wilcock and Cayce, that was talking to me when I had the reading. And at the end of the reading, they said, watch your dreams, and we'll be giving you more information and guidance. And I said to myself, they must say this to everybody. I couldn't believe that some energy was going to start talking to me in my dreams. And yet, 2 years later, when I put the pad by my bed, after a while, I became convinced that they were paying attention to me and were talking to me directly. And then people that started reading the book, started having the same experience. In fact, my sister, who I would never think was open to this kind of stuff, I started writing her dreams down, and then she called me up and said, you know, this one has your name on it, and she was getting these messages, and she read me something that only I would know, that she didn't know. It was like she knew something about me in that dream message that was very specific, and they were showing me how real they were, that they were like paying attention to my sister as well as me. Now, I don't know if you yourself have gotten verbal dream messages like that. Have you, Karen?
At different times, I mean, I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also learned that what I see in the dream, like when I was talking about disclosing, you know, what to talk about and what not to talk about,
mm-hmm.
it prepared me for things that were going to happen in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that what I could do was when I knew what was coming, it prepared me and I could work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like send a bunch of loving energy to the situation, the people, mm-hmm. and I actually got to experience seeing things change.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it was like a silent, I started learning this silent thing was going on that I was participating in on both levels, and I was just trying to integrate all this information. Like I was doing something, and I didn't know what I was. I was just trying to understand what it was I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I didn't know on one level what I was doing something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, did you get the idea yourself that there was an intelligence that was working with you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
It was paying attention, because that's what I got. I got that there was a huge
mm-hmm.
intelligence. It was very loving and caring. It was paying attention to me in a very direct and specific way. Now, if I didn't know it was direct and specific, I would have just called it God. I said, this must be what people mean when they talk to God. But this was not God in the way that I had learned to think of God in the past. It was, it defined itself as a group soul, and that there were billions of individual souls that had gone through evolution on the physical plane in other time periods. Millions, like our universe is very old, so there's been many civilizations on many different planets that rise and fall and rise and fall, and there's this evolution that occurs where if you go through the evolutionary process, if you don't keep falling back and getting trapped in this realm, which is what apparently is the norm, if you can actually evolve yourself, you end up leaving this realm, the physical universe. You go through even more experiences in other dimensions, even as a physical body in other dimensions. And then ultimately, you become part of a group soul which no longer has bodies and no longer is in the physical and no longer in time as we know time. And then you act, this is the story that they explain, they act as a helper or guide for planets at lower levels of evolution. So I've come in studying all this to believe that whoever's talking through David Wilcock, and of course Carla Ruckert was channeling the same energy, is that group soul, that one of the group souls that's been acting as a helper and a guide for us for thousands and thousands of years, and in many times has been interpreted as God, because that's the easiest way to write it off or to understand it when you don't have a sophisticated... Like, for example, there's been many times in history where there's been huge wisdom that's come through different religions, but they don't necessarily talk about reincarnation, because I think they decide that reincarnation is maybe more than we need to know when we're struggling so hard with the physical in this life. And then, of course, there's other religions where reincarnation is an intrinsic part of it. And I personally have had enough experience, personally, not to believe it, but to know that it works that way. Because I've had, exposure to three or four of my lives that I figured out, not that somebody told me, and I could just put it together, and there was too much circumstantial evidence proving to me that I was somebody in a past lifetime. So, and Don, you have the same experience, don't you? I we don't have to tell who we were, but, I mean, you have a personal experience where, you know,
well,
where... Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Am I right? Is that correct? Is that okay to mention that?
Sure, sure.
Yeah. I mean, how did you figure, without saying who you were, how did you figure it out?
Well, trial and error.
Trial
and error.
I think I told you the story. Maybe I didn't, but I can tell it again since we're talking about reincarnation. And I know that nobody should believe anything blindly, and I didn't either. When I was younger, I heard of reincarnation. I read Edgar Cayce, and I said, "Man, this guy was so accurate that if he was accurate at all these other things, maybe his reincarnation stuff was also accurate." And I had an experience where somebody gave me a reading. Oh, years ago, and they told me this past life that I lived in great detail. And they said I was a troubadour 1,000 years ago in England. And they told me how I was duplicating some of those cycles from that life in this life. And it made a huge amount of intuitive sense, like certain hang-ups I had, certain people in my life they said were from that life, and my father was from that life, and then I walked out of the reading, and I went home, and it struck me that I had written a song 6 years or so before the reading that described exactly the same life, and I thought the song was from my imagination. I thought I was just making stuff up, stream of consciousness, and it was exactly the same as the reading. So from that point on, I was convinced that it had to work that way. That was one of my first real validations. That reincarnation was real. Now, sometimes people hear about reincarnation and they want to know, well, who was I? Who was I? In a lot of cases, it's not important to know. And I can see that for me, I found out about other people in my past life, and if I knew it when I was younger, it would have screwed me up. I wouldn't have understood it. This information is like time capsules stuck in your consciousness. And it's kind of like when you get to the place where you're working out the actual experience of that past life. Because what happens is we keep going through and generating similar type experiences, and we have all these kernels locked up inside of us waiting to be released, which is the actual, not the same past life, because it's always this life, but the energies of that. Like, for example, if you had a relationship with a woman that was unresolved, you might meet the same woman, fall in love with her, and then can you resolve it this lifetime? Can you overcome the barriers that were there in the past, the other lifetime? And that's an example of how it works, because I am sure at this point, and I don't expect people to believe me, but I am sure that the people in my life are reoccurring from other lifetimes, and that's true, I believe, for everybody, or almost everybody. The people that you have connections with, your people that your friends, or the people that you don't have a neutral response to, that you respond either very positively or very negatively, your children, your parents, your lovers, are almost always reiterations of the same energy that you had in other lifetimes, and you keep getting the same opportunity to work it out and get it right. And getting it right means, to me, to being able to perceive all those people as part of yourself. And that, in which case, instead of having conflict, you end up having love, because energetically, our energies combine at the higher levels. And this is part of the law of one, that ultimately, the whole universe is one. And the more oneness you experience personally, the higher up you are in the evolutionary scale of oneness. Does that make sense, Don? Don?
Oops.
Did that make sense?
It does, but you were doing such a great time talking that I got a little busy here. So just, no, keep going, please. I'm in the middle of correcting something for our listeners.
You mean you didn't even know what I said? Oh, my God. Okay. See, now Don's mother is going to complain. She's going to say, I'm talking too much. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I mean, I don't know if you have any experience of past lifetimes or not. Do you have any ever have any validation for yourself of past lifetimes?
I've had dreams that I've seen past lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like comparing them to the present?
Yeah, like for example, you know, you have a family, you have children. Did you ever connect any of the people in your present with people that you knew in the past in your dreams?
Just within my immediate family circle. Like, I had a vivid dream of my son, what he was in a past life, and what we were working on in this life. Do you want me to tell you that?
Yeah.
It was back in the time period when they wore big black hats and long black coats. But he was a preacher. He had this big black Bible he was waving around. And I think he was chastising me for I was a teacher. And I was teaching the children about things that they, you know, like the teenagers, what they would need to know when they grew up, you know, things that they kept secret that you didn't share with them, and I felt that they should, the young people should know. And I guess somebody went home and told a parent or something, and somebody complained. So he was the preacher of the town, and they put me in stock.
They put you in stock?
Yeah, and this is what my son did to me in a past life.
Stock is like arresting you, or?
Well, you know where you put your hands in these, in your head, in the hole, and they.
Oh,
put
yeah.
You out there in the middle for everybody to walk by and make fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
He did that to me.
And did he do it? Did you feel like he was doing it psychically at all this lifetime?
Well, he's had a hard time in this lifetime. Ever since he was little, I've said, you know, when are you going to learn who the parent is? Because he was always like, hey, I'm the adult, I'm the parent, you're the child, and always trying to roll over me, but just when I saw that dream, it's like I just saw. It was just so true. So I started, you know, I didn't tell him about that dream, but when things would come up where I knew it was like where we were working through some kind of issue that had to deal with that, I would find some things to say, you know, something gentle. I know when I have a moment to say something, it's got to be short and quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just get it in there and move on to something else. Don't dwell on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's helped me a lot with how to deal with how he is and how to respond back to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, one of the things that we've been doing is I started out, oh, I guess about 9 months ago, saying, you know, people are hearing us talk and they're saying, well, how do I have those experiences in my life? I want to be open to being more sensitive and being more aware of this light energy. And how do I have it? I know if I was listening, I'd either be saying, these guys are a bunch of kooks, or how do I experience what they're experiencing? Because so often people are feeling isolated and separated, and, you know, here this guy is saying, I'm saying, we're supposed to be loving, and yet the experience in this realm is so hard, it becomes so challenging to experience love for many people. Not all people, many people seem to be having a great time, but others of us, and I speak for myself, it took me a very, very long time in this life to understand love, more than just an idea, to be able to experience love on a personal level, experience love for a stranger. And part of what helped me grow into this is writing the book, and then, of course, having these channeling experiences and having this guidance from other dimensions. And I said, well, how can I share that with other people? So one of the things I started as an idea to see if it would work was doing conference calls where we would read channelings over the conference call and call in the light. And this was like an experiment to see if when we read the channelings, the people came in on the call, they would experience something, if it would make a difference to them. And so Karen was one of the people that heard about this on the Don and Wynn show when we first started doing it, and has been a regular checking in and watching things happening. And I thought it's a good opportunity to have you share your experience of being on the conference calls for this period of time. So, would you like to share that? What happened to you as a result of the conference calls?
Okay. And then as I would tune into the conference calls, and I would notice how things in my life, like, would start escalating. And if things would start getting a little rough, then I knew that, well, I would just make it to the conference call whenever. You know, I just made sure that I didn't miss it. And I knew that those times would pass quicker. And then I often knew that the more I tuned into the conference calls, also I saw it moving out from me into my family, everything that was around me.
You mean an energy?
Yeah, the energy.
Was, you know, see, a lot of times people think that something is believing something, or it's cultish. But you know what? Your family didn't have any idea about the conference. I mean, they knew you were doing it, but they didn't were not necessarily listening to it or even believing that it might be real.
Right.
But yet, as you checked into the conference calls, something shifted in your family, mm-hmm. in your relationships with your family and people.
Help them. You know, in a silent, I saw the silent help going out to the rest of them. And I know my son and my daughter-in-law started going through a rough time and actually going through divorce. And I saw miracles happen between them, and standing between them with all this hostile energy and being able to bring in this calmness was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's like in the past, if you were in the same circumstance, what would have happened?
Probably a lot of swinging. And
a lot of swinging?
Yeah.
I mean, so you would be able to stand there, and I mean, if I put it in words, you would be emanating energies from yourself that were calming and peaceful, and it would change them.
Mm-hmm. I found myself between them, standing between them, and I'm shorter than they are, but yet they were towering over me, and this calmness just would come over everybody, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think was causing that to happen? Could you put it in words?
For one thing, I would call in the light, like we would do on the conference, and I would feel them with me.
Them meaning these intelligences we're talking about.
Yes, the interdimensional
beings. In other dimensions, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would feel them there. And then I even noticed that when I would be anywhere and I would be on the conference call, whatever anybody else was doing, if they didn't even know I was on the conference call, they would gravitate towards me. Like all the animals would be around me, and then all the people would be around.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't even know what I was doing, but I would just observe what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
That they were subconsciously drawn into it.
So this is kind of like, for somebody that's like trying to be a scientist, you know, a skeptic, which I can understand people. We're making kind of a fairly big leap of idea that there's a conference call and there's a shift in the energy, and then you're having like totally independent correlation that something's happening. In other words, it's not, for example, it's not like I listened to the conference call and I felt great, I felt wonderful. That's very subjective. But you're feeling the animals change their vibrations or their attitudes. The people that are in relationship around you are changing the way they're relating. I think that's pretty amazing that occurs.
I felt things come up and clearing in my own self, and it would happen faster. It wouldn't. I've known it to go and linger, but as long as I would stay in touch it with the energy and stay on the conference calls, it would clear faster. And I've always known and believed that, you know, to help anybody else, I have to help myself first.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a continue. It was like a tune-up help for me so that I could send that help out to others.
Mm-hmm. You know, part of the thing about talking about these conference calls is they're not private, that anyone that feels like they want to check this out and see if they can make it work for them, there's an open invitation to anyone who's listening to participate. And you don't have to believe anything. You don't have to, you know, there's no charge. You just have to email me and say, I'm interested in checking out your conference call. Because what we do in the calls is we read a channeling of one of those energies, one of those intelligences that I have come to the conclusion are positive and that are trying to help us. And when we read their channelings, I mean, in asking them, they say they're energetically present. They're there with their energy, so that if somebody can just be neutral, get their mind out of the way, because if your mind is kind of saying, chattering, you can block it, but just be neutral and I'll see what will happen. You might feel that energy, and it might start a process in yourself. I mean, I've watched, and again, I said I started this as an experiment to see if it worked. I've watched people check into the conference call and then come back the following week and say something healed, something transformed, some, you know. Karen's not the only person that's been having this experience.
Well, we've got a call in the light.
We do.
Yeah, we have Dr. Bell's show starting up here in about 5 minutes.
Well,
so we got to close her up.
Okay. Let me just say, if you're interested in the conference call, email me at winfree@yahoo.com, winfree@yahoo.com, and I'll email you back the access number. And on that note, Don, are you there?
I'm here.
Shall we call in the light?
Absolutely, Karen. Thank you for being with us. I know I haven't joined in much, but we had it. Some listeners couldn't listen to the low-end streams they were calling in about.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that fixed. But anyways.
Okay, so Father, Mother, God. And when I say all these things, by the way, you don't have to believe anything. Just be neutral. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each of us here on Talking and each person that's listening, and that any negativity can be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned, and that we can take a moment and just imagine right now that we, all of us on this line, are interlinking our energies, that we're accessing in an intuitive way the part of us that is in other dimensions, and that even though we're all over the United States and all over the world, we can have a moment where that distance in the physical can be collapsed and our energies can experience this time together, and that we can be open to those forces in other dimensions that are attempting to guide and help and assist us for the highest good of all concerned, and that we can learn how to stabilize ourselves on this planet while it goes through the transitions that it's going through and the things that can create fear and panic in ourselves, and to know that we do exist in other dimensions, and that this one life is one blip of many lifetimes, and that we can learn our highest lessons and our best lessons while we're in a body right now. And I thank you all for listening. I thank Don, my co-host, who is...
Yeah, it was great. I'm here.
And that's it. Are we okay on time? Is that about right?
We're good. Just remember,
okay,
folks.
And thank you, Karen, for coming on and sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Karen. Thank you. Well, to our listeners, we're going to be back with Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. Please stay tuned. You'll love his show. It should be up here in the next few minutes. Thank you very much.